recorded. And when we have a family gathering, they record things, you know, and then the next year they play it back to us.
When you had a funeral in the house, did you have singing and music?
Sometimes the old timers did, because I know at Grandma's funeral this woman sang.
That was
some, no, it was in her home. But that, of course, was a matter, I guess, of what they wanted, and if they had any instruments that could be played, too. That made a difference, she said.
I imagine they would use an accordion at that time.
They might. They had, of course, some of them had cottage organs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I think Grandma had an organ there. And, of course, I know we had an organ after a while. And, but it, of course, it wasn't used because we all came out of our place alive up there, thank goodness. But I know at the time Grandma died, somebody played that organ and sang, and it was terrible. I don't like singing at funerals. I thought the nicest thing I think I ever heard at a funeral in the idea of music was when Harriet Taylor died. She had two girls that had been in her classes, and one played a harp, and the other played some other instrument, and they just played softly all through the service, and it was beautiful.
Was this at the mill?
No, that was down at West Bangor. She died down there. And that's not too long ago, you see. No, I don't think we ever had anything like that up there. It just seems to me that once in a while an evangelist used to come into the school and have services.
Did you have camp meetings?
Not up there.
No.
The camp meeting was at Brushton.
Uh-huh.
And I know my mother used to go down and they'd put up a tent and maybe stay the week, you know. And, but they didn't have any up there.
The evangelist that came to the school, he come just one day?
Maybe come just for one night, you know, or something like that. He might be around the other section to see him come in maybe for one night. I don't think we ever... And then I can remember another thing we used to have. We used to have a traveling show come, and a tent show. And they'd put on plays. They'd be the man and his wife and his little child, and then he'd perhaps have another man and wife, and then they had the fellows that put up the tent. And they would, now let's see, they used to set up their tent over in the field. Well, when you go by Bombard's, go right up through the Eddy Road, and then the road over to the mill, right in that corner. And I can remember that. And they were there one year a long time, and a family and the son came to school for a while, and they'd put on a different play every night, you know, maybe for a week. Oh, well, they were medicine shows, I guess is what they were. One time they came, they didn't have the medicine, but they were generally called medicine shows.
And did they sell medicine?
And they'd sell this patent medicine in between times, you know. And of course, if you bought this, well, you got some special votes for something, somebody or other, you know. Just like they have the most popular, maybe the most popular woman, they'd pick out somebody and every bottle of medicine had so many votes and you could vote for they'd have two or three names up, you know.
Oh, I never heard of that.
Oh, the medicine show.
How would they decide who would be voted on?
Well, people would maybe put in their names, you know.
Oh, I see. And one bottle of medicine.
Well, I don't know. Well, no. But whoever bought the medicine could vote for any one of those amounts.
Oh,
so many.
I thought each bottle had a value.
Oh, no. No, but well, it would have a value of so many votes, you know. I can remember those.
Did they have scenery? They must have had something.
Yeah, they had some scenery, but there'd be a small stage, of course. But they did pretty well. They were pretty good. I used to love that.
How about weddings?
I can't remember ever of there ever being any weddings up there. That is, if there were weddings, they'd have been away somewhere, you know, and then maybe they come back for receptions, for dances and parties, wedding dances and parties, but I can't remember ever having any weddings up there. That is, they didn't have any home weddings, because in the Catholic Church you didn't have home weddings, you see. And we were all either too old or too young for weddings.
You wanted to ask about Christmas?
Yes, Christmas was, just an idea of how Christmas was then compared to
Well, I think it would, as I can remember, we'd have our Christmas at home. We all hung our stockings along the fireplace, along the mantle, and we'd have our Christmas. And then the ones that I remember, and they, at noon, we'd all go into my grandmother's, and we'd have our Christmas dinner there, and then they'd have a tree.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have a tree, but they'd have a tree in the afternoon, and Uncle Herbert and Aunt Bess would come up from Malone. They'd be up there, and Uncle Newton and Aunt Delia would come over, and Uncle Frank would be there, of course, and we'd have the Christmas tree there. And I don't remember their ever making anything on New Year's.
Did you have candles on the tree?
No.
No?
I don't know what they did at first, but then they got afraid of them, so then they didn't have them. And of course, we didn't have electricity.
No.
Yes, they
didn't have electricity until...
Our tree was trimmed mostly with popcorn strung. That was most of the decoration. They'd maybe get a little bit of tinsel, you know, or something. But, and I don't know.
Did you have anything on top?
Not anything special. No.
Presents you got, kind of presents, were they weren't as numerous as they are today?
No, I don't think so. Of course, I always had something from my grandmother and from each of the uncles. Sometimes I knew what I was going to have. Well, no, Uncle Herbert always brought us something that would be different, you see. And Uncle Frank usually gave us a nice book. And I can't remember. I remember getting a doll one time. I remember one time getting one that was made, they found one of these glass heads and they made the body. That was the first one I ever had that I can remember. And then I had a regular one from the store. And I was quite a big girl when I got that. I must have been around 12 or 13. I don't know, we got games and I imagine pretty much like, we didn't get the big expensive toys like they do now.
Was there any talk about Santa Claus?
Oh yes, believe in Santa Claus just the same, my goodness, yes.
He was the same person in the same red suit, with the red suit?
Oh yes, yes, Santa Claus was, we never saw him, but we used to, well, I don't know as I'd say that. I guess I was more with my children that used to leave the box. They played a fudge for Santa Claus, and then Santa Claus sometimes left a half-smoked cigar we forgot to put down when he left. But I don't, we didn't have anything like that with us. See, there were the three of us girls and Paul. And I know one thing, that if we had to have a new dress for the winter, that was our big present from Dad and Mother. Was the material for a new dress. And we didn't have the clothes they have nowadays. That's one thing. We had, we'd have, in the wintertime, we'd have one real good wool dress that was for good. And then maybe you'd have one that had been good the year before. And then you'd have your school dress. Well, if your school dress had to be washed, then you'd put on the second best one,
right,
and wear it while that one. And for school, we wore aprons. We had real fancy aprons made to wear over our dress. The dress would be plain, but we'd have fancy aprons, maybe two or three. Mother used to have a dressmaker come. She'd come maybe in the spring and in the fall and stay a couple weeks and make up the aprons and whatever cotton dresses and for the summer that we had to have. And our good wool dress that we got the material for. I can remember having a bright red wool trimmed with yards and yards and yards of red baby ribbon.
The dresses in the winter were wool.
Yes. And they didn't have sweaters then, like we do now. You can get along with most anything as long as you have sweaters. But we didn't have anything like that.
You had coats.
Had coats.
You had coonskin coats, the men?
The men did, some of them. But we'd have just the wool. And I don't know, we bundled up good. Of course, we had good warm dresses, I guess. And long leggings and overshoes, because we had to walk to school.
Was there much difference, when I asked everybody else, between winter and summer in your habits? You really were like working and school and your family, just did a big change between when the summer came and the winter and the mill?
No, I don't think it. Of course, they didn't do much work right in the mill proper in the winter. The work was more out in between the camps and the place, getting the materials in ready for the
Do you own the camps too?
Oh, yes.
How large were the camps that you owned?
Well, I don't know. There were three, I think. Number one, number two, number three. I think there were three main camps, and as I said, they might take care of a dozen men.
You know where they were?
Well, there was the west camp. There was one camp. You went up the Eddy Road, and then swung off to the left, and that was one of the later camps, I remember. And I don't know which that one was, whether that was number two or number one. It swung over toward High Falls.
Yeah.
You see there. And then there was a west camp. I know I've been to that, but I wish I couldn't tell you where they were. Whether there was, I know there was three camps. Maybe not all at the same time. Perhaps they'd use one and then they'd build another one in a little different place and number it differently.
But how many men were sleeping
in? Well, depended sometimes. Of course, the earlier camps probably didn't take more than 8 or 10, and then I think maybe some of them would take up to 12, 15. But you see, so many of them stayed right down at the mill and went back and forth. They didn't have to have so many in the camps. And in the summer, when they were cutting, of course, they didn't use the camps. That is, the men just went in from the mill there, from Reynoldston, went in and did their cutting.
Did they have bunk beds as we know them now, or just compartments in the walls?
Oh, I think they had bunk beds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Iron or
wood? Well, there probably were, the framework was wood, but then they'd have the springs and probably mattresses. I don't know, but I imagine they had. They probably weren't the inner spring or anything like that. But, and they may have had straw ticks.
Where did you get your furniture?
Well, I think, of course, I don't know. Mother and Dad had it when I was born, so I know. I imagine they came from Malone, from the hardware, or from the furniture stores here.
You ever
there's a piece that came, that was one Mother and Dad had, that one right at the foot of my bed, that had a mirror on it, it has a marble top. But that was, they had it when I was born, and I wouldn't know, probably came from Malone.
Did you ever see furniture delivered?
Mm-hmm.
So
no.
Apparently they used furniture for many years.
Yes, I think
yeah.
So. And
it passed down from family to family?
It was passed down in families, I think. Uh-huh. Just like it is now, you see.
Yeah.
I think that bed my husband found up in the barn over at Richfield and took it out and cleaned it and waxed it. And that dresser was my mother's. I don't know if I've got anything more around that came from way back. I guess I haven't. I've got an old rocking chair that came from Fort Covington from my grandfather's that he made.
About politics? Is that important?
Oh, yes, the town politics. That's who's going to be supervisor of the town and so on. And, of course, I guess, I don't know, my dad was supervisor for quite a while. I don't know whether his father was before him or not, that I wouldn't know.
Was it mainly, was it partisan politics? Was it partisan?
I don't think it was partisan so much. No, I think that... of course, I don't know. Brandon was Republican pretty much at that time. But I don't know. I think that they... I don't know. I think they did quite a lot as we do now. If you liked a man and thought he was a good man for it, you kind of forgot about your party. I'm not a party person at all.
Where did they vote?
Over at... in Brandon Center. The townhouse was at Brandon Center, and they all voted there.
Have voting machines?
No.
Just ballots?
No, just paper ballots and put them in a box. I guess they have a vote machine there now, probably. I don't know, but never did that.
Have parades or anything during the...
They're too scattered around,
yeah.
Don't you see?
No main...
No. You see, the Eddy Road went up to Reynoldston, and then the road went over to Skerry, and then there were crossroads. To the road up from West Bangor.
You got much more enthused about local than about national.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. I can remember one time, I think Henry Gagne was running against somebody for, what would they call the road? Highway supervisor or something like that. And why they they'd take you all over there, and I can remember taking us over there, and then I can remember the other guy coming around with a box of candy and treating us. I think that's the only time I ever voted up there. And I presume, of course, I don't know, I think, I must have, I guess I got my birth certificate. I didn't get my birth certificate until I was in my 30s. My mother got it then for me. Probably because we were going to vote, I don't know.
They really didn't take much care of it, for instance.
They didn't, a lot of times they didn't register the girls at all because they were never going to vote.
Uh-huh.
You see. But,
it's true, but then grandma,
Well, I have a great time. I've forgotten how my... I think mother had to have it made. She had to find somebody, an adult, who was there at the time I was born, who was in Reynolston. And she had my birth certificate made up. And they're not like the other ones. I'll show you what it is. They're not like the other, like the ones that you get now, you know. I've got to have my third leg here. I can go behind you.
So, can we ask to begin? We'll begin over again. We got the doctor at the end.
Mm-hmm.
We never asked you about your what were your father's duties? What did he do with the mill?
Well, he was generally the sort of, he was the youngest one of the family, but he was the one who had the, he had education and the others didn't. And so he kind of, he never went on just the Franklin Academy, but he taught after that. And that was an education in those days.
He taught?
Yeah, he taught to school.
What did he teach?
Grade school. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, what did he do around the mill? Like,
he just kept his eyes on everything, and he used to run the saws and things like that.
He did run the saws?
Yeah, he broke his arm one time doing it.
Instructed the other people how to work.
Well, I don't know. He just worked with them. I think he worked with them is what he did.
Good.
Uh-huh.
Can we ask you how your father was killed?
He was killed by an automobile down in Utica.
Oh. We didn't know if it was the mill.
We'd left up there in the mill. They'd given that up. They weren't using it much. No, he was struck by an automobile down in Utica and killed.
What were the years of the operation of the little paper company?
I don't know that, because they were operating before they began buying pulp from us. You see, that you'd find out in your Malone history, how long they had operated, you see.
Yeah. Give us some of the names of the people who lived at the mill all the time.
I tried to think of those. There used to be there was a James Thornton and his family. And, of course, as I say, there was the Joe Bumbard, and there was Alexander MacDonald. That was a good old Scotch name.
Oh, was he married or a bachelor?
Yes, he had been married. He had a son in school with me, about my age, a little older. And then his wife died, and he married Julia Jondrew, you know, when she was just a young woman. And then when he died, she married McGovern. I think she had three husbands. She married Kushnov first when she was just 16 or so.
Were ages of marriage quite young?
I think they were inclined to be rather young. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
When did the men get married?
Well, that depended. Some of them were pretty young too.
I
think in a place like that, if the young fellow got where he could work and earn enough, they didn't feel they had to have so much. Don't you see, if they could have a place to live and keep warm, and of course they didn't want to work for the company, they had their wood usually, that was furnished them, keep them warm, you know,
but
they could have the...
No,
I don't think it.
Could you give us more of a... I don't know, what's a skidway? I think I know, but...
Well, it's just built up with logs, and they roll the logs onto it and pile them up. They're just made of logs, and then they, or at the side of a road where they can drive along and roll the logs off and then back onto this. I don't think they have it at a slant too much. It's usually because they had to work them off with the pipe poles. So you had to take the pipes and put in and roll the logs on and off when it carried them away. My hands are away from my mouth.
Sorry. let's have more of a detailed description of the mill itself.
Well, you've got that right in your picture there.
Picture now, so that's better. That we didn't have.
I found it after you'd gone. I went in and went through some pictures and I found it.
Okay, you mentioned before the Indians lived uphill. Where is uphill?
When they used to come, I don't think there were many Indians lived there until way along late when Charlie Merritt brought his squaw up there.
Who was it?
Charlie Merritt brought his squaw up there. Mm-hmm.
Merrick.
Charlie Merrick. If you've ever been there, everybody in Reynoldson could tell you about Charlie Merrick. He bootlegged liquor and all sorts of things.
could you give us some of these Indian names?
No, I wouldn't know them. They probably, I don't think that, I was trying to think there was an Indian girl that lived there, a family. They were Mitchells. Mitchell, that's an Indian name down the reservation, you see. Because I remember this girl, I think she had some form of tuberculosis, I don't know what it was, because she had a hole right in one cheek that discharged all the time. Mm. But I think it was a tubercular form of tuberculosis.
Well, you better go on about Charlie Merritt, probably.
Yeah.
Well, they were, let's see, there was Charlie and Les. Les lived over at Scary. Charlie got mixed up with your Uncle Elon, you know.
No.
Well, he met his fate there. I don't know whether it was shooting in between them or what, but some way or other he had to have his leg amputated. And he was down in the hospital quite a long time. I think he finally died down here in the hospital.
He was a bootlegger?
Well, yeah, but anything. Anything he could do to turn a penny, he'd do.
Did he work in the logging camp or in the mill?
I don't think he did too much, no. No, he may have worked in the woods. He might have worked when they were cutting and putting the logs on skidways, but I don't think he ever worked in the mill.
Where is uphill, though? It's still what do you refer to as uphill?
Well, up, right straight up the Eddy Road. You go up the hill to Patton's and then on up, but beyond there you see where he lived. And the time the Indians came and when they came to cut their ash, I don't know that I can tell you. They used to be off to the right. Not as far up as that. There was a little hill, and there was a house back on that where Joe Bean lived, and that's where the Indians always went and stayed.
Is that before the CC Road turnoff?
Yes. It would be before you got up to the Patton place or the Patton Hill.
Yeah.
It would be down one of those little hills below that over.
What did the Indian squaws look like? What were their physical appearance?
Oh, they're heavy, most of them, kind of squatty and fat. They weren't beautiful. Even Charlie's squaw wasn't beautiful. Well, she wasn't bad looking. She was quite attractive to some of the men.
We also would like to elaborate a little bit. You're very interested in the company store, like prices, annual prices there.
Well, I was trying. Oh, they sold everything. They used to get
material?
They'd get in an order. The traveling salesman would come and they'd get in an order of calicoes and ginghams, and things like that. I think what they bought were a lot of them ends of bolts. And then, of course, Mother'd get over and pick out what she wanted, and Uncle Newton would get over and pick out what he wanted for his women friends. I think he dressed Dad Patton's wife. And I shouldn't put that on there. You keep that quiet. don't put it in your write-up, though. That's on the side. I told you I'd say more than I should. They have a whole bolt of cotton. Well, then perhaps it'll be more than some one place they'll buy maybe a bolt and a half. Well, then there'll be that half bolt left. Well, they used to get these, and it would be folded up. Sometimes they'd be certain things they'd get whole bolts of.
Uh-huh.
And then they used to buy what they called the wrappers that the women wore, all made up, calico, made up into, well, just the dresses they wore to work, working around. And they, of course, they'd have handkerchiefs and little oddities like that. He sold some books.
Could you give us some type of
I couldn't, no.
Oh,
maybe
subjects,
just well, they used to keep some school books that they were called, that were called for there in the school. They'd get a few of those. But, I can remember getting a book of fairy tales that I wanted, and Uncle Frank gave me that for Christmas. And then they'd had, of course, Uncle Frank was quite religious, and he'd have stories of the Bible and such things, you know. Really beautiful books, they were.
Were there a lot of pictures?
Be quite a number. I think they were illustrated, too. Mm-hmm.
They were quite expensive.
Yeah, they would have been. They'd be considered so then, and they'd be considered so now. Of course, they probably cost more now than they did then. But
I've noticed their antique book collections, these very small Sunday school pamphlets on morality. There's one which speaks against the theater, is very wicked, and things like that.
Yes.
Did they sell those in the store?
No.
No,
there wouldn't have been anything like that. You see, no churches up there. That would make quite a difference on that.
No, nobody'd go in. Church.
No, there wouldn't be anyone to. And, of course, they kept candies. They bought the ordinary bonbons mixed, you know, all colors in the pail.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, now, you see what they did? The men could come in during the week, and they could buy things, and they were put on their slip. And then at the end of the week, when they got the credit for their work, well, then they could pay up there.
Was it taken automatically out of their wages?
I think it was, probably.
Mm-hmm. Was there such a thing as being in debt to the store, buying more than
There could be, but in that case, where they just had to take more than one, I don't think they ever got anything very deeply in, you know, but some might have.
How about the... Do anybody know if there's any flour mills in the area around
Remington? No, I don't. I think probably that right here in Malone was the nearest for that. And I don't know. They probably had grist mills. Wait a minute now, grist mills. Oh, wait a minute. That'd be called grist mills.
Yeah.
I don't know where. There wasn't anything anywhere near there, I know. But there might have been around here. I don't know. I'm trying to think where there was a grist mill.
Bangor.
There might have been around Bangor or Brushton. There might have been a grist mill around. I don't know, but there's the ruins of an old mill over just as you go
Bangor
out of Brushton.
The Milani's just on a grist mill.
Yeah.
Yes, I know that. For a fact, I know that.
Yeah.
And
there were butter factories. Yeah, there were butter factories. There was a butter factory at West Bangor. And I don't know, but there was one up Skerry. Now, I won't swear to that, but I wouldn't wonder.
Ever hear of James Hapgood's butter factory?
No.
I think he might have been in Belmont.
And I think there was a butter factory let me see. It'd be the road just as it come up the top of the hill. It's on the Eddy Road, where a road went over to Langdon's, where Sid Langdon lived. I think there was a butter factory right in that corner. At one time, they weren't using it as a butter factory. That's when I was up there.
Did most people make their own butter?
I think we did. We churned it. I gave my churn to the historical society. That I have churned a good many churnings of butter.
My grandmother told us how to make butter.
Well, the ones were rotten down this way. Grandma had one you turned round and round, but she made more than I did.
Do you know the date of the installation of the steam engine?
No, I don't. But that would... No, I don't know.
Can you remember how old you were?
No, I can't. I just remember that when I was a little girl, I remember about my grandmother going down to the mill thinking she heard the water wheel going.
But you heard the...
About all.
But all you can remember is the steam engine being there.
That's there as long as I can remember. Only just as I say, I remember the time before. I know it couldn't have been there because... She thought she heard the water wheel going and went down.
Probably about 1895.
Well, let's see. Might have been. Mm-hmm. Boy, it seems like I was more than 5 years old, though.
We have to check.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
your
grandfather.
Yeah, he might know.
Or maybe somebody else.
Or that very old Campbell man.
Albert Campbell might know those. He might know about that.
Do you know the year that they stopped logging hardwoods? Started on pulp mainly.
Well, I think that was That must have been just almost the last of what they used up there. Well, of course, they had cut some pulp before that, but not any great amount. But I think that was after they had cut over and cut the hardwood pretty well. You see, they didn't have the hardwood to cut. And but the pulp grew faster, and that they could cut.
What kind of trees are there made of
now? I don't know what there is now. It's mostly pulp now.
Pulp. There's some hardwood.
But
the state has taken it over, and nobody's cutting anything.
Yeah, no, nobody's cutting. See, the state took over the land.
They planted large number of pines, spruce.
Uh-huh. Well, that's softwood.
Yeah, and they planted spruce, which is a large area now, which is...
Well, they planted right on the side hill, right beside where we live.
Yeah, but then
they
father
planted
really
that
didn't
too.
Plant the rest. Then the father just put everything right. It was not planted, and that's growing up to hardwood.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I don't know.
There's some pines that they planted around.
I don't think we ever had too many pines up there, though. Lots of tamaracks. And spruces. Well, they planted pines, of course, all through the Adirondacks, you see, because the soil would was suitable for them. It takes a sour soil
for
pines.
Did you have tamaracks?
Yeah, a lot of tamaracks. I remember the big tamarack that stood right up on top of the hill, because we used to save the cones and string them and make beads. Oh, we used to dress ourselves up. Great shape.
How about
string
herbs?
Cones.
How about herbs that you use for tea or medicine?
Well, I was going to tell you about that now. For instance, if we got into poison ivy or something like that and their fingers all broke out, they would go and gather what they call snake root, or they call it touch me not. You know, it has the little kind of orange blossoms, and if you touch them, you touch the seed pods, they pop and fly all over. And but that grows, it would grow around by the barns, and they take that and crush the stems and rub on. They're supposed to take the, it's that color, but it's a real, the stem is kind of a watery stem. You see, when you crush it, this sort of sap or juice would come out of it, and they used to rub that on for things like that. And then I think one time my sister got hold, drank something, we didn't know whether it was poison or not, and old Mr. Dusaw, he was in one of the old men up there.
How would you spell that?
D-U-S-O, they spelled it. He came and he said, now I'll tell you, I'll pick you some little berries if you'll eat them. And she would do anything Duso asked her to. And he gave her lobelia buds to make her throw up in case that whatever, I think it was her eye water she drank. But they were always people who knew about some things like that, you know.
What color were lobelia?
Well, they were blue. The little blue blossom, but the bud would be green, you see.
Oh, nice.
And, you probably are familiar with this touch-me-not or snake root. If you only knew it, you probably have, because it's really quite familiar now. It grows up around where my daughter, where they had their camp at St. Regis Falls, and she transplanted some of it because it's so pretty, transplanted into her well garden.
How about mint?
Well, I think mint grew there in some place. That's got anything to do with the...
We're more interested in how you lived than in the business part of it, you know.
Well, we pick berries in the summertime, and of course with our family we could take care of them all. They'd buy all we picked. I picked raspberries until I stuck my elbow in a wasp's nest, and then I quit.
You got 10 cents for strawberries.
Mm-hmm. And they had to be picked over.
Five for raspberries,
and 8 cents for blueberries. And I can't remember, we didn't pick many blackberries,
no.
I don't think. There weren't many right around Reynolds. I can't remember about them.
Can you remember any other home remedies, in case the doctor couldn't get down, without calling?
Well, I can remember being lined up in the spring and given a teaspoonful of sulfur and molasses.
I can remember. I've had that.
Remember that. Boy, I hated it. I don't remember, of course, if we had sore throats while we were bundled up with turpentine and lard. Turpentine and lard all over us, and then flannel.
You're going to have to wear a little bag around your neck?
asphodite. Or sulfur. They used to wear sulfur sometimes. I don't know what that was for, really.
Well, nobody did.
I don't think it kept any diseases away. It may be, the asphodite would keep people away because it smells so.
Could you give us an idea of some of the subjects that were taught in school?
Well, they were just the same as you get now, just in the district school, you know, reading and writing and arithmetic, geography, a little bit of history. Never got very much of history.
Yeah.
And English, of course, we had to learn to write compositions and so on.
Did you have to read anything besides textbooks as
no.
part of your assignment?
No. You didn't get much of that until you got into high school.
We were wondering, you mentioned that trading between and among the mills, or yesterday, you mentioned trading. You traded some stuff with Bowen.
Oh, I imagine they did. I'm not sure of that, but I imagine that they probably did if they had to.
They needed something.
Something like that.
If you wanted short on something, they might trade them.
Yeah, they might have done that. I don't know. I wouldn't know anything about that. I was too young to know, you know, the business side of it too much.
Do you know where the central post office was to get your mail?
Our mail came from Bangor, I think, came up from Bangor. But we had a post office right there.
Also, you mentioned Harriet Taylor. We remember vaguely, but we don't.
Missionary.
Mm-hmm. Well, she had been a missionary teacher to the Indians down at Hogansburg, to the Indians on the American side, you know. And then, of course, at one time she had been in an Italian mission down in Utica and taught the Italians. But
where was she from?
Well, she was one of the Bigelow clan. See, Howard Taylor and Harriet and Mrs. Lawrence, Mary Lawrence, and Harriet, their mother was a sister of my grandmother. She was one of Grandpa Bigelow's children. There was quite a bunch of them there.
What church was she in?
I imagine Methodist. Most of those people were Methodist, you know. Oh yes, I know Harriet was. And I think it was a Methodist mission, Italian mission, that she worked in Utica. That was years ago.
Did she ever live at the mill for any period of time?
They all lived with Grandma. Anywhere they were got where they didn't have anything to do or anyone to look after them, they came in and Grandma made a home for them. She made a home for Bernard and for Howard some of the time. And Mary taught up there. She was my first school teacher, Mary Taylor Lawrence. And I don't know. There was Albert McGoon and Arthur Reynolds, all of the nephews. If they were, their mothers died or their families died, they all came and Grandma took them in.
You mentioned school teachers then. Was there much corporal punishment in school?
Oh, the ruler used to get us on our palm of our hand once in a while. But I don't remember ever whipping any other way.
No.
No, I can't remember.
Was there much disorderliness by the bigger boys?
On the playground sometimes.
On
the playground sometimes.
Even though the teacher was a woman, did she have any trouble?
I don't think so. No, I don't think they did. I think they had more trouble when we had a man teacher there that we picked on. We didn't like him. He was a cousin of mine, and I didn't like him. He sent me home one day, and I took my books and went home.
Tell us about the Christmas exercises.
I don't remember them ever having very much. If they did, they probably had something that was sent into the teacher, you know, and they'd be maybe somebody to read a Christmas story, and they'd have some songs they'd sing. But of course, we never had anything in the school like for an organ or anything of that sort. We just had to sing.
Was this among students only, or did they invite the parents?
I think it was just among the students. It was just a school affair.
In Bangor, I believe they had a.
Oh yes, well that was a little bigger
idea,
you see.
Also, we wondered if you could give us an idea about the care of the babies, neglected at that point too. What did they do with the children? The women were very active, they had to take active roles.
Oh, Took care of them, that's all, the best they could. I don't think, of course, the women who went out to work, usually, if they were young enough to have little children, had older children to look after them. I don't know, because the woman we had, her family was all grown up, the woman used to come and work for us. But they were all good, healthy little kids, and I think they were loved and brought up pretty good.
How about breastfeeding? Was it common?
Yes.
Yeah. Not very much bottle.
I think very little. So it wasn't, unless it was necessary, if there was some reason that, yes, it would have been mostly breastfeeding.
What they used for diapers, did they cut up their...
I imagine they cut up old sheets and Elding. And some, they'd make some, they'd buy Elding and make up some, too.
Uh-huh. But do you remember, did you have any responsibility at home as boys and girls? Did you have your own...
I don't think we did much up there, because I wasn't really, I got where, of course, I had to make my own bed and take care of my room. And I used to help with the cooking. I made pies, because I could make the crust go farther than anybody else. I guess I rolled it thinner, I don't know. And so I used to help with the cooking when I got old enough.
But you had no assigned duties?
Well, nothing, only take care of our room. And keep our clothes, keep our things picked up. We weren't to drop them on the floor and leave them, and that's one thing the kids nowadays, oh boy. I go to visit my grandchildren and something comes off and down it goes, and they walk over it until their mother comes and picks it up and puts it in the washer. And I have learned to keep my mouth shut. In that case.
Yeah.
But it galls me. Boy.
How about today we had the Beard Day was against him. Was it Beard Day, Beard Day?
I don't think there were very many, only really older men. I think my father had a beard at one time. Perhaps it was probably before he was married or when he was first married, because I have a picture of him with quite a heavy beard. And but I don't remember Uncle Frank or Uncle Newton ever having a beard. Uncle Frank nor Uncle Herbert. I don't know anyone, only my father. And he didn't, as he got older, he didn't even have a mustache, he shaved that off. And of course, as far as worrying about their long hair, they all of them got bald before they got very old.
Did the men wear their hair longer then?
No, they didn't.
Where'd they get cut?
Well, your Uncle Ted used to do some of this. And I imagine the women cut their hair. They cut it for them, you know.
Ever use a bowl?
I don't know. They used to tell about them cutting kids' hair that way. But I don't know.
I have a haircut like that.
I think Hannah used to cut Billy's hair.
Okay, let's go now back to doctors. Give us,
what I told you was, you see, we had to call a doctor from Bangor or St. Regis Falls later on.
Just the names?
Well, down in Bangor there used to be a Dr. Bradford a long time ago and a Dr. Johnson. And I can't remember the one that was in St. Regis Falls that used to come over sometimes came here later. I ought to remember his name because he took the tonsils out of my kids. It wasn't Sampson. It was a Dr. Sampson at one time, but this was...
Well,
Dr. McCarthy was one of my first teachers.
Oh.
And, of course, he wasn't a doctor then. He didn't go and study to be a doctor. He taught, I think, to earn the money to go. You see, when you got through high school. Then, if you got through high school in training class, you could teach in the district schools, you see. Because he taught there, I think, 2 years. Good teacher, too.
Midwives?
Yes, there were one or two women there that would take over for that. I think that Charles E. Trim's wife did. And it seemed to me there was someone else that used to, because I know she came and took care of Aunt Dealey one time, Uncle Newton's wife. But usually mother came. As I know, my grandmother came to mother. One time she had to have somebody, and they got a practical nurse, Mrs. Collins from down Bangor, that came.
How long did women stay in bed after the child?
Oh, they stayed in, gee, I even stayed in the hospital, I think, for 2 weeks. They don't do it anymore, though.
Oh, you're out
there? Mm-hmm. They say it's a lot better. A lot better to get up onto your feet as soon as you can.
How long did they stay in the house before the child was born? Or did they?
Well, I don't think they, unless it was in the wintertime. Of course, I don't think they paraded as much as they do nowadays. People get out now, but I think it's a lot better to get out. And of course, some of them were so shy they wouldn't want to be seen. But I don't know. They wouldn't be. I'm trying to think. I can't. I can't really remember thinking about those things then.
Do you remember how you paid the doctors and midwives produce money?
Well, no, I think they were paid. Of course, I think they were paid money. But as I say, when they came up, and there were a whole lot of people wanted the doctor when he came, I think they got it. Of course, they didn't have to pay what they do now either.
Do you remember a specific fee?
No, I couldn't. No, I couldn't.
You mentioned small.
And they used to come up and pull your teeth sometimes, because I had some teeth pulled one time. The doctor did. And then I was trying to think when that smallpox epidemic was. They came up and a whole group, the mailman and all the fellows that worked in the store and the family, all gathered in our kitchen, and they came and vaccinated us all. And they weren't sure of the vaccine, so they gave each one of us a double dose. And I'm telling you right now, my double dose, I've got the scar from yet. Oh, boy, was I sick. I've got two great big scars on my arm there. Mm-hmm. I would never have my children vaccinated. They did it themselves when they got ready to go away to school. Of course, when they went into the Army, the boys both had to be vaccinated. But I said, you'll do it on your own. I never do it. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't know. Because I was so sick. Oh, boy, I was sick.
I don't remember when it happened or where it come from or any details about it.
I don't remember about the smallpox at that time. That was just about at the turn of the century, just about 1900, I think. Mm-hmm. They got it all through Bangor and there. A lot of them had it. Yeah, you'd find it in an old paper, I imagine. And yes, I'm sure you would, because they had a lot of it. They had several deaths. And, because people didn't know how to treat it, how to deal with it, you know.
How concerned with the women's dress, the hairstyle, long?
No, it was just done up in a puff on top.
Was the hair long?
Yes, long. Oh yes, no, they never had the hair cut unless I had to have mine because I lost it all when I had scarlet fever. But yes, we all had long hair. Sometimes it was so long and heavy that it was awfully hard to put up.
Did you ever get the hair cut?
No.
They used curling irons.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They used curling irons. Well, didn't you ever see a curling iron?
I have.
This long tube, and then there'd be a handle come out like this, and that was a tube and a sort of shield that came. And when you opened it up, you'd wind your hair around the tube and then let the shield come back against it. You heat it, you put it in the top of a lamp chimney to heat it, and then wound the hair around it.
That has almost come back in style nowadays.
I don't know, are they? Of course,
yeah.
they had these things that they put in your hair. I don't know.
This was like a color, I think. Women have made too much jewelry. What did they use for jewelry, or did they?
I don't remember that they had much. It'd be beads, probably, you know, colored beads. Because we all kind of got a little bit of savage in us, you know, like those things. But I don't think they ever had. I can't remember rings unless they had just their wedding rings. I don't think very many of them ever had a ring other than the wedding ring, you know.
Did they have engagement rings?
Not to Mount Tempting. If they did, it might be just any, as they didn't take diamonds or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
It might be just any favorite. Of course, they do that now. I know one of my daughter-in-laws didn't want any diamonds. She wanted a pearl, I guess. I don't remember what she did. Whether it was a pearl or what it was, or whether she didn't want any, I can't remember. She don't ever wear one much either, anything but her wedding ring.
How about the older people all wore shawls.
Yeah, they did quite a little bit.
Were they handmade or bought?
No, I don't think. I think they bought them. They were fringed usually around, and they folded them cornerways, you know, and wrapped them around them.
How about shoes? What kind of shoes did they wear?
They wore regular shoes like everyone else. I think, of course, we wore higher shoes.
Were they high button shoes?
Yeah, we wore high button shoes and high laced shoes of a deal. They didn't wear Oxfords as much as they do now.
Ever hear anything called a
converse tape? I seem to have heard of it. Men wore those.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, men wore those. Oh, we, in the wintertime, we just wore long leggings of wool.
How about perfume? Is there any, much perfume? Any sort?
I can't remember. Jockey Club. And I don't know what it was supposed to be, but I can remember that was the name of a perfume.
Jockey Club.
Jockey Club.
Sounds
almost Yeah, that was the name of a perfume that was quite common then.
What were the colors of the women's
vests? Well, most of these, now like the wrappers that they wore, the cotton things, were most, the ordinary one was gray or black and white, gray and black and white, you know, flowered pattern, but it would be all in that color.
Mm-hmm.
Or navy blue and white, and once in a while they'd be a dark wine and white. But you didn't have the combination of colors in the same piece.
How about the weather? Snow?
I don't think it could be any worse than we've got right now. Of course, it snowed. We had a lot of snow, and we had to walk to school in it. But I don't think there's any worse than we have now. I think our weather now is pretty much the same.
Was it ever so bad you couldn't walk?
No, because the more snow, the better it was.
How about the cold? It was very cold.
Well, it was cold, but I don't think
we've
there's
lately,
no colder
now.
Than we've no colder than it's been today. I don't
below
believe.
Zero lately
now. You know.
Sure.
Did the loggers wear scarves?
They wore toques, and they wore
terrific.
Toques.
You know that expression must be local to Reynolds only.
What toques?
Local to Northern New York. No,
yeah,
not
even Northern New York.
From Duane.
Northern Franklin County.
Yeah.
Very few people know about the toques.
Well, of course, they haven't worn them so much. They wore these little caps now.
Yeah.
They wear them other places, but they don't call them toques.
But they don't call them toques?
They call them ski caps. Ski cap.
My eye, that's a cap.
I know that.
Yeah, I know.
I
know that, too, because I've seen it in my knitting books.
I go downstate, or in the ski areas, and have toque. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Nobody knows.
Oh, for goodness sake.
It's a very local
skirt. Oh, we always, girls and boys both wore toques.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something nice long in the back.
Also,
and bonnets, I think probably we wore hoods, what they called hoods.
Did the men wear anything besides their undershirt, shirt, and coat?
Oh, they put on pretty good heavy jackets when they worked in the woods.
These homemade?
Over that, too. No, I don't think it.
They wool?
I think they were wool, you know. And, of course, they wore heavy wool socks, and those were home-knitted, generally.
Was there
and
great...
their
great
high
great
boots.
Great deal of knitting at home?
I think in some families it was. I imagine your great-grandmother knitted a whole lot. And I know my grandmother did, because I can see her sitting there right in the dark, knitting away.
Knitting and sewing, my great-grandmother.
Yeah. Uh-huh. My mother. Sewed. She could sew. But I don't remember her ever knitting. But Grandma knitted.
Our next topic is rather general, but how about socks? What would you talk about at dinner?
Besides law,
anything?
Well, we probably wouldn't talk about that because we might just...
What would you talk about?
Our bread and our yeast and the things that would come up in the home. I can't remember if they were, I'm trying to think. Of course, children were supposed to be seen and not heard.
Was that really true?
Oh, yes. Well, we weren't supposed to voice our opinions at the table. We just sat there and listened. It, don't mean they were mean about it. We just, it was
expected.
Mm-hmm.
Were you allowed to have any finicky preferences as a food?
Well, we had what we wanted on their birthdays. On my birthday, I could have whatever I wanted. And I always wanted baked potatoes and cream and salt and pepper and either boiled onions or mashed turnips. And if I liked those, and I could have them on my birthday. Pardon, we might have them the next day too, you know, but that was my choice, and I could have it on my birthday.
Did the men talk politics?
Oh, yes, at times. Yes, they did. But that would be more like evenings or maybe Sundays when they'd get together. Oh, yes, I can remember Alexander MacDonald, that used to be the school, he was like a district superintendent, and he used to come around visiting, and he was quite a politician. He was from St. Regis Hall. He used to come down and visit Dad, and I think they probably talked politics.
Yeah. Differentiate for us between this house and this house.
Oh, well, this one was built a long time before. That one must have been built about the time. I don't know whether that was built before Dad and Mother were married, or whether Mother lived here while they finished it. Mother were married in 1889.
Uh-huh.
And it would have been around 1890, probably, that was finished anyway. And this one, of course, had been built a long time, because they'd had the old store there, and that was an old house. I wouldn't know when that was built. When they came up, but probably built it after they came up there. It had a cellar, as they used to then, just under the front part. You know, they used to build them like that.
Mm-hmm. Were these houses called by any names?
No. No, we just called it the old family house.